Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Disability, physical disability, various forms of disability, mental disability, emotional disability, social disability, and so on. That's my topic. Let's take a look at this issue of disability. Now, I don't know if you have a disabled person in your family. Perhaps you're disabled. I don't know that. But we're going to talk today regarding this whole issue of disability and how to get a handle on it and how to be a constructive person in the life of somebody who is disabled. Now, disability is defined this way. A disability is a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more of a person's major life activities. So in other words, for some reason a person cannot live fully. For some reason a person cannot enter into the daily experiences of life fully. This comes from birth perhaps, maybe as a result of an accident, maybe the result of some kind of a disease that deteriorated and over time became very disabling to an individual. Multiple sclerosis would be an example of that. But each individual who's disabled faces many, many challenges. And we have to remember, those of us who are not disabled, if you will, that it's people first. It's a person first. The disability is not the thing that is the thing to focus on. It's the person with the disability that is to be focused on. We want our disabled people to be valued members of our community. We want them to participate fully in life to the very best of their abilities. And whatever that might be, we want them to live a full and exciting life as best they can. And they have a great deal to teach us as we have a great deal to teach them. There's a mutual teaching responsibility with the disabled individual. What are the facts about disability? Let's take a look at just some of the numbers that gives you kind of a handle on disability in our country. 82 million Americans have a disability or a chronic illness, as I defined it just a moment ago. 82 million. Now, that's meant 1 in 5 people in the U.S. live with some type of disability. 1 in 5. So if you're a family of 5, you probably have somebody in your family that has a disability. If you have an extended family, let's say of 10, 15, 20 people, yeah, you have 1, 2, or 3 disabled people in your family. 10 million people a year, every year, experience serious mental illness, a disability, if you will. And roughly 65 million Americans provide care for those who are disabled or live with a chronic illness. About 65 million. So here's the deal. You have about 82 million who are disabled in some way, and 65 million Americans provide care. So it's almost 1-to-1. According to the U.S. Census in 2010, the census said this, that 5.2 million children under the age of 15 had a disability. And with about half of those were classified as being severe in that particular disability. So you see, it affects a large number of people in our community. It affects a large number of people in our small neighborhood, and it certainly affects people within our own family. So we know what disability is. Now, we as a family have a disabled young man. He's not so young anymore. He's now 74 years of age. Irvin has been disabled all of his life. He was neurologically impaired at birth, and he was adopted into a family. That family is the family in which I am part of. And he has been under my supervision and my care for many, many years. We watch out for Irvin. He lives independently in a group home with other disabled men. He works every single day. And in fact, he's worked every day of his life since age 16, and he's now 74. So he's a worker. He goes to church every Sunday. He ushers. He relates to people. He welcomes people. He's friendly. He enjoys people. And people have come to enjoy him. Yet Irvin cannot read one word, cannot count past 5. And it's taken us 3 years, to teach him north, south, east, and west. He is now just beginning to learn the differences in direction. Can't tell time, any of these basic skills. But you know, he has a tremendously positive attitude and heart. People love him. He enjoys life. He has a good sense of humor. And he has a good memory for what's taking place in life. And he can tell you what's taking place in his life, all of his life, just from remembering events and situations and facts. But he can't read, and he can't put it together on paper. He can copy letters. He can copy numbers. Yet Irvin lives a full life and a full, enjoyable life, partly because the way we care for him, partly because the way we encourage him to be independent, partly because we encourage him to engage in his community of disabled people and to engage in the community of non-disabled people and to live a full social life. We encourage him. We praise him. We welcome him into the family. When he does something, we all celebrate. We have unusual celebrations for accomplishments that he's made. We recognize that. We make him feel important. We make him feel like he belongs. We make him feel like he's necessary, that he's just part of our family, like anybody else. And he does feel that way. So, I don't know about you. I don't know about the life you live and your family. But I tell you what, Irvin contributes good to our family as we contribute good to him. I recommend that to you too. If you have a disabled person in your family, embrace them. Bring them into the circle of your friendship and in the circle of your family life. Let them understand. Let that person understand they're welcome, they're wanted, and they have a contribution to make to you, just as you have a contribution to make to them. Now, when you think in terms of disabled people, what are some of the ways in which you might be of help to them? How can you help a disabled person? No matter what the disability is, it doesn't matter, because all these facts apply as to how to help a disabled person. Some will apply to one person a little bit more than the other, but they all apply. Here's number one. If you're going to help a disabled person, whether it's in your family or your neighborhood or in your circle of acquaintance or friendship or whatever, learn as much as you can about your person's, your friend's, your family member's disability and look for creative ways to include him in your life and in the life of your community and the life of your church and the life of your family. In other words, whatever the disability is, study it, know about it, learn about it. In the case of Irvin, it's a neurological disability. We have studied, we've learned, we've come to understand how that came about at birth and how he's lived his life throughout life. And now we're trying to help him incorporate himself into the world, into the community as much as he possibly can. We are very creative as a family of ways to include Irvin in our family life, but also in the life of the community in which he lives. We take him places. We take him to events. We take him to concerts. We take him to movies. We take him to plays. We take him to socials. We take him to musicals. We take him to things that will enrich his life and give him a feeling that he's no different than anybody else. We take him to ball games. We take him to sporting events of all kinds. Now, he may not understand all the rules and regulations and all the rest, but he's included. He belongs, and he enjoys that perhaps more than the event itself. Here's number two. Avoid making assumptions about your disabled person's limitations and abilities. Don't assume that they can't do something. Don't assume that they can only do this and only do that, but they can't do something else. Don't assume that. You have to test it. You have to discuss it. You have to ask. You have to encourage. Disabled people can probably do more than they ever had if they have given opportunity, if they're given the challenge to do something, given the help to do something, given the support to do something. Do it with them. Do it along with them. And then after a while, they begin to do it themselves. Irvin has done that many, many times in his life, that we've had to take him and teach him how to introduce himself, how to say hello to people, how to shake hands. And now he does it normally. He does it unoffensively. Here's number three. Mind your language. Remember that words are very, very powerful, and they need to be chosen very carefully. You have to be careful what you label, how you label your disabled member of your family or friend or whomever. Be careful how you make reference, you know, to them. We don't refer to Irvin in terms of his disability. We refer to Irvin as a member of our family. And we have a way to introduce him. We have a way to help people understand what relationship he is to me and my family line and my family relationships. We help him become accepted, not as somebody who's odd, who is different, or whatever it might be. We help him become recognized as just one more member of our extended family. And he's no different than anybody else. but we don't refer to him in terms of his disability. We refer to him in terms of his name, his age, and his status, and what he can do and what he can contribute. Here's number four. Offer practical assistance. Help your disabled person with how to ride a bus, how to take a taxi, how to go to a store, how to go to a medical appointment, you know, how to check into a medical appointment, how to buy something, how to exchange money when they buy something in the store. Just be of assistance. Don't do it for them, but assist them in doing it. We often provide Irvin the dollars to buy something, and then he gives the clerk the money so that he's buying it. Help your disabled person feel independent, feel like they are a real person, and that they can engage in the same kind of behavior that anybody else does. We may have to dial the phone, but he can talk. Okay, here's number five. Help your disabled person navigate their way through the confusing maze of the government. You know, this is the tough part. Disabled people can vote. They often have opinions and would like to vote. But the voting system is so confusing and so complex, they just cannot navigate that whatsoever. But here's where you need to help them. You need to help them vote the way that they would like to vote, not the way that you want them, you know, to vote. How to fill out forms. How to respond to a questionnaire that might come to their home. How to fill out a application for something. You know, you have to find all the ways in which you can make sure that you relate to your disabled person, but do so in a manner that they have independence and they have their own sense of personhood. And then educate yourself on all the ethical issues related to that disability and to that particular person, how they relate to people in the community, how, what they do when people are mean to them, what, how they respond to people who are sarcastic or who are physically abusive in some form. How much do you protect them? How much do you help them protect themselves? There are a lot of issues of that nature that you have to be aware of and work through. So you see, a disability is very important in our culture. We place value on disabled people. We want them to live their life as fully as they possibly can. And you're the conduit to help them relate to the community in which they live. Finally, there are Beatitudes that have been put forth by Johnny and Friends. Johnny and Friends is an organization, a nonprofit organization, that devotes themselves entirely to the improvement and to the lifestyle and to the living arrangements of disabled people, and to bring them into a Christian environment, into a Christian faith, but also into a whole and wholesome relationship with others. And they've come up with the Beatitudes for the disabled. Let me just read these a little bit for you, and you get a sense of maybe where you are relative to disabled people in your life. Blessed are you who take the time to listen to difficult speech, for you help me to know that if I persevere, I can be understood. Here's the second one. Blessed are you who never bid me to hurry up, for I often need time rather than help. You know how true that is. Disabled people do things very slowly, and if they have the time, you give them time, they'll get it done. Here's the third one. Blessed are you who stand beside me as I enter new and untried ventures, for my failures will be outweighed by the times I surprise myself and surprise you. How true that is. Here's another one. Blessed are you who ask for my help, for my greatest need is to be needed. You know, that's very true of the disabled person. They will help if you ask them to help. They may not see the need for help. They may not just on their own chip in and offer to help. But if you tell them this is something that they could do and you would appreciate their help, they're right there to do it. Because that gives them a sense that they belong and that they're needed. Here's another one. Blessed are you who understand that it is difficult for me to put my thoughts into words. You know how true that is. Disabled people take a long time to communicate something. Sometimes they don't know the word. Sometimes they can't get the word out of their brain. They can't find the right word to say. Or it takes them a long time to come around to the actual point that they're trying to make. Sometimes it's stuttering and they just can't get there. Take the time. It will come. Here's another one. Blessed are you who with a smile encourage me to try once more. And that's the issue there. Smile. Enjoy the moment. Celebrate the moment. Give them time. Let the disabled people take time and they'll accomplish the task that they're trying to do. And here's one more. Blessed are you who never remind me that I sometimes ask the same question several times. You know, it's not a matter of reminding them. You're always asking me. You asked me that once already. You asked me that four times already. Stop that. No, that's how we do it. No. We want to teach our disabled person, as I teach Irvin. Irvin, once you've said hello, that's all you need to do. One time, and people will appreciate that. People will always appreciate when you say hello. But when you say it four times or five times, they find that maybe a little bit annoying. So don't do it that way. But always say it one time. Reach out. Always greet people at least once. And now he does that. Now he's learned that social skill. And his social acceptance has greatly improved. And here's the last one. Blessed are you who respect me and love me as I am. Not as you wish I were. And how true that is. We would like our disabled people to not be disabled. We would like them to be just like us. So that we can have a greater camaraderie. We can have greater relationships, you know, together. But you know, it doesn't work that way. Disabled people are disabled. And we have to accept them the way they are. Respect them for who they are and how they function. And then love them in spite of it. Love them as they are. Not as we would wish them to be. Because if you're going to wish them to be that, you're going to be disappointed. And you'll find that to be more rejecting than anything else. So you see, disability is something that is part of our life. It's part of our community. It's part of our family. Now, we can reject that person, avoid that person, ignore that person. Or we can include that person in the life of our family, in the life of our community, the life of our church, the life of the events that take place in the world around them. It's a choice. But we can do that with respect and honor and appreciation, and we can be the teaching parent. We can be the teaching friend. We can be the teaching family member. We can be the teaching helper. We can be the teaching companion so that their life is improved as a result of what we teach them to do and to do it in a socially acceptable way. And they enjoy life much more fully. So, thanks for joining me. And I refer you to my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. Go to the book on Achieving and Living a Healthy Lifestyle in a World of Stress. I've discussed there a lot of issues related to disability, to impairments, to aging. And you'll get more advice along the lines of dealing with the disabled person in your life and within your community and within your family. So that's a source. www.booksbyhedberg.com. Bye for now.